Good morning. Is this on?
Yes, it is on.
Here, Larry. Never mind. Go on. Happy Father's Day, dads. We'll talk a little more about that in just a moment. Are you ready to worship? All right, let's pray. Father, we rejoice in who you are. We rejoice that you have called us your very own. You have adopted us as your children. Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit into this place, that you would stir our hearts. I thank you for our fathers today, God, as we celebrate and honor and remember them. But Father, may the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. Be in every home that's watching, also on our live stream, God. Be right here in this place with us as well. Come and change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
Amen. Let's all stand up. So we're going to sing a song that you may not have sang here before, possibly. You know, but today somehow the songs were all focused on someday we're going to be out of here. Either by we die or Jesus is going to come back and get us. Someday we're going to be out of here. Amen? You know, we need to try to take as many people as we can with us in the meantime. So let's celebrate. Are y'all ready? home to heaven. Give me that G chord. I'm going to be good. You know, I heard everything's getting so up down. I'm going to give you a light example of how things are so up down. I heard a commercial from one of the car dealers here in town, and they said, are y'all liking taking a bus or taking a taxi more than driving or Uber? Well, then we want to buy your car, and we'll pay you top dollar for your car. So they're not trying to sell their car to me. They want to buy my car because they don't have any cars to sell. How backwards is that? But I'll tell you what's not going to change. Everything's changing. Everything's going opposite. Everything's going crazy. What will not change is God's promise. God is on his way back. Jesus is on his way back. Let's sing.
Some glad morning when this life is over.
Well, as I said earlier, Happy Father's Day. We are gonna do something different today, Dads. Are you ready? So, dads, give me a woo-hoo. Okay, that means you're ready. All right, we're going to find out how dad are you. Okay? So if you're a father, stand up. How dad are you? That's the big question. Yeah. So you don't have to match up exactly, but if you said something similar to this, I want you to remain standing. If you have never said anything similar to this, you can sit down. So we're going to have 10 things to determine how dad are you. When a cashier has trouble scanning your item, that you might say, guess it's free then. If you've ever said anything similar to that, stay standing. Man, look at all that. We're weeding them out, women. When a kid takes too long in the bathroom, you say, did you fall in? Didn't lose any on that, I don't think. When you see a neighbor washing their car, you might say, can you do mine next? See, some of the honest people sit down and then they felt guilty and stood back up. We're in church, men. We're in church. All right. Let's see. Where am I? Okay. When you have been caught asleep in your recliner, you say, I was just resting my eyes. You haven't never said that? Are you serious? Okay. When seeing another man in public, you say something like this, guess they'll let anyone in here. Say, man, yeah. You're like a little pogo stick over there. When your kids leave the door open, I'm not paying to cool the whole neighborhood. Yeah, you've all said that. When you're carrying something that's so heavy that you're like getting a hernia, and you say, it's not heavy, it's just bulky. Man, we're weeding them out. When someone comes back inside because they forgot something, you say, back already? How was it? Okay, I like this one. When you've tied down a load on a pickup or a trailer or something like that, and you finish tying it down and you say, that's not going anywhere. Now, last but not least, this is where the rubber meets the road, right here. When you take a stud finder and point it to your chest and you say, found it! Seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 of you. I have a prize for you 11. I think I only have 10 here. Come up, you come on, we come on, you 11, y'all come up here and get your prize. The rest of the fathers, we have something for you as well here in just a moment. All right. If you were here last year, this is a repeat from last year. You can put one in each pocket. I'll get you. All right. Somebody, you're not a dad.
Better not be.
You can go with Grandpa. Man, they start young around here. All right, that was fun. All right, I want to invite the children to come with Miss Teresa for our children's message.
This is a wonderful wonderful day. I'm so glad you're here today. I always love seeing all of you. I do. I like it when you come.
But what happened over here?
Oh, I don't even remember. Eventually it gets so you get scratched and you don't remember how.
I got scratched on my arm too.
All right.
And I got scratched on my arm.
I believe it. Okay. Today is going to be just a little bit different. I am going to ask all of you to be detectives today, okay? And if you know me, I like being a little bit tricky, so you're going to have to listen carefully, okay? I'm going to give you clues. And at the end, I'm going to see, and you might all know by the end, but I'm going to see if you know who I am talking about, all right? I need three volunteers. Will you stand up over here? Just stand. Next to him. One. Stand next to him up here. And stand next. Yeah, I need three. Three on each side. All right. Here are my clues. Are you ready for my clues?
Yeah.
All right. First, F. F is for forgiving. Maybe. Even when you disobey, this person still loves you. Will you hold on to my F down there? Yep. All right, my next one, A. A is for attentive. This person is willing to listen to you no matter when you want to talk to them. All the time. Okay, and we'll listen too. Not only let you talk, but we'll listen. My next one is a T. This is my next clue. It's a T. This is for teacher. This person teaches you your best, most important life lessons ever, and even models how to love one another. All right, my next clue is an H. H is for helper. This person likes to help you and is willing to help you, sometimes through advice, giving advice, sometimes through doing things for you. My next one is E. E is for energetic. No matter what time, a day or night, this person is ready and willing to listen to you, help you, talk with you, do what needs doing. And my last clue is an R. This is for ready. This person is ready at a moment's notice without advance warning to be ready to listen to you, talk with you, guide you, give you advice, and guide you every single day. This person does all of these things. Now, having said that, who thinks they know who I am talking about? There you go. Our Heavenly Father.
He even spells
Father. What kind of clue can I give you? So, yes.
Oh, Father.
Yes.
Is it God?
It is God, because all of us have a Heavenly Father. Absolutely all of us. Today is Father's Day because we honor our fathers today. We say thank you for being a dad. And we are extra blessed because our dads look to our Heavenly Father to know how to be a good father to us. So we are extra blessed that way. I also want to recognize that not everyone has a father. Some people have stepfathers. Some people have friends who are very close and give them good advice and guide them and are there for them. So we are very thankful to these men who are just there for us all the time. All right, you can hand these back and have a seat. We have a gift to give all fathers. Joshua. To give to all fathers. And I want all of you guys to hand these gifts out to the father. So after I pray, I want all the men to just stand up until one of the children gives you a gift, and then you can sit down. Man, I don't want kids. I'm not talking kids. I'm talking fathers or father figures. Okay? So as soon as I'm done praying, you will get the books to hand out to all the men. All right? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for our fathers, and help us this day to show our love and appreciation to our fathers, and may we always remember to thank you for our Heavenly Father. This I pray in your holy name. Amen. Fathers, will you please stand? Children, will you get some books from the adults behind us? Yep, get some from one of the ladies behind you, and then just find a man who's standing. Any man who's standing, doesn't matter who.
Did we miss any father that did not get a gift? I guess we got everybody. Well, good morning, church family.
Morning.
Good to see you this morning. Lots of joy in the house this morning. That's a good thing. If you'd like to register your attendance with us, you can do so. For those of you online, God bless you. You can also register your attendance as well. I want to remind you that tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., we will have a meeting, a second service meeting in the sanctuary. If you're interested in serving in any capacity or just would like to know more information about that service, meet us in here at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. Remind you, the VBS starts next Sunday night with family night, and then the actual VBS will run Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Promise Keepers, we have four spots left. And family, if the father in your life has not received a gift from you yet, a ticket to Promise Keepers would be a great gift for them. So just saying, no pressure there. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, we would like to pray for the fathers in the room this morning. So if you're here with your husband that's a father, or a grandfather that's a father, or your father's here, I just encourage you guys to bunch up. Just kind of wrap each other up, and I want to pray for us, if we can do that. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can celebrate your goodness, that Jesus Christ is alive, that he rules and he reigns, that he is at your right hand right now making intercession for us. And so, Lord, first of all, we'd like to say Happy Father's Day to you. You're such a good, good, consistent Father. What a great role model you are for us. And help us as dads to look to you for guidance. Help us as fathers to look to you for wisdom, Lord. And God, I lift up the young fathers in this room that have younger kids. Lord, I just pray that that supernaturally they can carve out time. I know that they're busy, that they can carve out time for their children. Lord, just protect their heart, protect their eyes. Just give them a strong desire for their wife and their wife alone. Just give them a strong desire to be the best father that they can possibly be to their children. And Lord, for the fathers who have young adult children, God, I just pray that you bless them as well. And Lord, it's not that they've done their job. There's more to be done. And so, Lord, I pray for wisdom as to know how much input to give, what to say, maybe when they need to be silent during times. And so, Father, I just pray for wisdom for them. Help them never, help us to never, God, lose this passion to pray for our children, that they become godly young men and godly young women, that they will glorify you in all that they do. And, Lord, I lift up the seasoned fathers in the room, those who have set an example for the next generation, Lord. I just pray that you help them to finish this race strong. Lord, help them not to grow weary in doing good. And God, I pray that they look to you until we all draw our last breath, God, just to see, God, what a father really should look like, how a father should really act, how he should really relate to his family. So let, Lord, bless fathers this day. And Lord, I want to pray for those ladies who are fulfilling dual roles. God, I just think about my little mama who raised me and my two brothers. Lord, I know it's hard. God, just be with those ladies. Strengthen them. Protect them. Pray for encouragement for them, God, as they serve. Oh, Lord, again, you're just such a good father, a good dad, and we love you, and we praise you, and we pray the prayer that, Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If we continue to worship, we'll go ahead and take our offering at this time. God bless you, church. Thank you.
sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand. Thank you.
Once again, welcome this morning. Glad that you are here. Are you glad that you're here? Amen. If you are our guest this morning, we especially welcome you and are glad that you are here. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. Has a blue stripe on it. It says guest. We'd love to know who you are and would love for you to fill that out, but you don't have to do that. But would love to get to know you better. And at the end of the service, I'll be out in this end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guests, and would love to meet you and get to know you better. Also, just a reminder, we've got a Wiley Methodist app. We've got our email. Any of that stuff that you are not a part of and would like to be, there's also a card there that says Get Connected with a black stripe. Would love for you to fill that out, and we'll get you on our list. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now this is, we hear this scripture a lot, read during the Advent season, Christmas season. We're gonna unpack it a little bit more today. Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave them the name Jesus. We're going to skip ahead to verse 13 of chapter 2. The Magi had come and brought their gifts. When they, the Magi, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, as we have sang and as we have prayed. We ask you now to speak to us in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, we talked about Mary for Mother's Day. Felt like it was appropriate for us to talk about Joseph today. Today's message is the faith of Joseph. Actually, my pretty wife kind of gave me a heads up about this. The little Easter booklets that I gave out called the Easter Code back in Easter, if you didn't get one of those, I think I still have a few of those, but it was like a 40-day devotional. I found that to be a very, very good devotional. One of the entries from that devotional, I'm going to read just a few, a little bit of an excerpt from that. It's written by a man named O.S. Hawkins, a retired pastor. Here's what he has to say about about Joseph. When it came time for God the Father to pick a man to mentor and raise his own son, he chose Joseph. And for 30 years, Jesus lived under his roof as God was preparing him for a ministry that would last only 3 years, but was destined to change the entire course of human history. The Bible records not a syllable that ever left Joseph's lips. Isn't that amazing? Not one thing recorded. But there was a reason God chose this man. Joseph was faithful. Fathers, you listening? We listening, fathers? Joseph was faithful always. When the angel came to Joseph in a dream with the message that his fiancée was pregnant, but that he should not fear to take her as his wife, he believed it, knowing he would become the brunt of every joke in his hometown. When the angel told him to leave Bethlehem to save the babe from Herod's decree to kill the baby boys of Bethlehem, there was no doubt, no defiance, no delay. Our legacy from this good man was not what he said. It is found in what really matters, what he did. Don't you love that? So we're gonna look a little bit closer at Joseph today. It's amazing that that so much, you know, is written in that narrative of the birth narrative and what happened in the first few years of Jesus' life. And Joseph's a very integral part of that, but he doesn't ever, there's not one word recorded that he said. Through Joseph, first thing, through Joseph, God is teaching us that character trumps reputation. Hello? Anybody listening? Character trumps reputation. I don't know what it is, but we tend to reverse that many times. We're more concerned about our reputation than we are being a man or a woman of character. Verse 19 of chapter 1 today, Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. His first thought was that Mary had been unfaithful to him, but even before the angel came and told him that this was not the case and what to do, he was willing to divorce her quietly. He did not want to drag her through the streets and shun her and make the city that she was there be disgusted with her. No, he was going to divorce her quietly. By divorcing Mary quietly, he knew that people would assume that he was the father. Once again, he was more concerned with his character than his reputation. He was more than willing to have his own reputation tarnished for the sake of Mary so that she would not suffer. In other words, he was willing to sacrifice his reputation in obedience to God. Joseph had character. His actions acted in a way that was consistent with his character, not in a way that would protect his reputation. So I want to say this. This, ladies, I spoke mostly to y'all on Mother's Day, and the men got to listen. I'm going to flip that today. I'm speaking to the men, but you ladies, I think this applies to all of us as well. If you have character, God can use you. Did you know that? If you are a person of character, God will use you. Not only can he use you, but he will use you. There is an old saying, your reputation is who people think you are, but your character is who you are. So I've heard it a different way. What do you do when people aren't looking? How do we conduct ourselves when people aren't looking? I tell Cheryl pretty often, I've said this many times to her, it's like, I want to treat her with respect and dignity even when she's not around. I was like, oh, you know, the old ball and chain, you know, is that we can speak in those kinds of terms about our spouse. It's not a way that honors our spouse. I want to speak in a way that honors her. Our character is who we are. And I know I hit this pretty often because I know it tends to be a struggle with men, especially, not solely with men, but, you know, what are we doing on the computer? A long time ago, 20 years ago plus, I was actually working a Walk to Emmaus and had a pastor who is now moved into another city. Probably most of you would not even know who this man was, but he confessed to a group of us that before he came in to preach on, this had been going on for several years. Before he would preach, he would be in his office looking at porn, and then come in to preach. And he was confessing that because he knew that was not a good thing. And he was repenting of that, and he was trying to be restored. But I heard that, and I was just like, wow, not only is that conflicting with sharing the gospel, the good news from the pulpit, but the toll that must have been taking on him to be that conflict between what he did in private and what he proclaimed in public. Character trumps reputation, church. Secondly, through Joseph, God is teaching us that obedience takes faith, courage, and action. And I've just listed four things here that jump out at me where this is true for Joseph. And I mentioned this earlier. First of all, Joseph took a pregnant Mary as his wife. It says in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel. I love that because the angel comes and tells Joseph to do something several times. And the very next verse is saying, he did it. He didn't just listen to it and go, yeah, that's a good idea. I think I'll take that under advisement. No, in every case, he says, I did it. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Secondly, Joseph fled to Egypt when the angel said to save the child. Joseph, here he is. The angel says, hey, you need to flee Egypt because Herod is trying to kill the Messiah that he's heard about, he's read about. Verse 14, chapter 2. So Joseph got up, took the child, his mother, during the night, and left for Egypt. Yeah, I mean, I just helped one of my daughters move 2 or 3 weeks ago. Moving's not easy. Y'all need to get rid of some junk, by the way. So do I, by the way. But, man, when you gather everything up and move to another city because the angel said do it. He did it. Joseph got up and he moved. Then he's there for a while. Then in verse 21, chapter 2, the angel comes back and says, okay, the danger's over. Now go back to Israel. So he gathers up his stuff, and he moves back to Israel. Then, as he's settling into Israel, the angel appears again. Oh, by the way, Israel's not really safe right now either, so I need you to move to Galilee, to Nazareth. He gets up. Having been warned in a dream, Joseph withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And every single one of these moves, not only is there a purpose behind it, but every single one of them, it tells us in the passage today, it's fulfilling Scripture. It's fulfilling the prophecy about the Messiah, where he would come from, and that his life would try to be snuffed out by Herod. So I guess as we're thinking about that obedience and it takes faith, courage, and action, I want to ask us some questions, church. How often does fear influence our behavior? What other people will think if I do that? I've shared before, and there's many times the Lord promised me to do something, and I'm not quite as obedient, but I shared the deal where there was a lady walking down Antley, and the Lord said, pull over and pray for her. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm having this dialogue with the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, she's going to think I've lost my mind. I don't know that woman. So how often does fear influence our behavior? How often does convenience influence our behavior. That'd really be a pain. And the same example, I'm debating with the Lord, and she's down here by the high school, and I'm almost to the mall, and I'm like, finally, I just went, all right, Lord, I'll do it. Well, I made a U-turn. Scott, sorry, I made a U-turn. It's illegal, right? Is that in the law? Okay. You can't give tickets like post later, can you? I made a U-turn and I drove back and I'm like, man, I got things to do. I don't have time for this. And it ended up being that lady needed to be encouraged that day. So how often does what others think, yeah, I'm getting really personal, aren't I? How much does what other people think of us influence our behavior? Man, I'm telling you, obedience takes faith, courage, and action. And I think the life of Joseph demonstrates that to us. It was not convenient. I know he had fear. I know that he was concerned about what others would think. And yet, in each instance, he acted. Third thing, through Joseph, God is teaching us that obedience has eternal implications. And there are eternal, I probably shouldn't go there, but I think it's okay. I think it's okay. I feel like the Lord's saying it's okay. Probably get emotional. That's all right. I've cried before. I think it's okay. Cheryl's going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Cheryl's brother. We've been trying to help Mike and trying to get him to go into the hospital and so forth last week. And Cheryl and I tried, and we couldn't get it done. And my daughters, stepped to the place. They went over to see their uncle, and they convinced him that he needed help. I want to ask you to pray for Mike. Pray that Mike would know the Lord, and pray that Mike would be restored with his health. But they may not have just saved his physical life, but they may have saved his eternal life through that obedience. And I promise you, it was not convenient. It was not convenient. I'm proud of my girls for doing that. Obedience has eternal implications. The consequences of obedience or disobedience may not be immediately visible, but it has the potential to impact lives for all eternity. Jesus was coming one way or the other, but what if Joseph and Mary had not been obedient? First of all, they would have missed out on the blessing of raising the Son of God. I mean, just think about that. He would have found someone else to be the mother and father of Jesus. But that had eternal consequences. You and I are believers today through that, the obedience of those decisions. And we may think, well, that's Jesus. I mean, that doesn't apply to me. Man, I want to read, I've read this 10 years ago, but I want to read it again. How many of you know about a man named Edward Kimball? I don't see nobody. When I start reading this, it's going to dawn on you again. We don't know Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball lived in the mid-1800s, and he was a dry goods salesman who happened to also teach Sunday school for some teenage boys. Just like you and me. He's just a guy. Dry goods salesman, Sunday school teacher. He went, there was a boy in his class, his name was Dwight, Dwight really didn't get this whole faith thing, he didn't really get this whole Jesus thing and salvation and all that, and Edward Kimball had a heart for Dwight, just this little teenage boy in his Sunday school class. Dwight also happened to be a shoe salesman. And one day, the story goes, and Edward Kimball wrote about this, he goes to the shoe store with the thought, I'm going to share the gospel with Dwight. And as he got to the door, see if this maybe if you're, if this is sounding familiar to your life. He got to the door, he's like, oh, man, this is embarrassing. I don't have time for this. This kid's going to think this old guy's crazy. I don't want to disrupt his work. All these excuses. But he pressed through. Edward Kimball, he pressed through, and he goes in, and he leads this young boy in the back of this shoe shop to Christ. That young man, Dwight, his name happened to be Dwight L. Moody. That may ring a bell. Moody, later in life, I mean, he kind of became the precursor to Billy Graham. I mean, this guy leading all kinds of thousands of people to the Lord. He helped in that process. He helped lead a man named J. Wilbur Chapman into a certainty about his salvation through Christ in the late 1870s. Chapman served as a boss and a mentor to a man named Billy Sunday, who ended up being an evangelist, helping lead him to his conversion at a street corner in Chicago, just right there on the street. In 1924, Sunday was instrumental in the conversion of a man named Mordecai Ham, who later also became an evangelist. In 1934, during a series of revival meetings in Charlotte, North Carolina, which were led by this evangelist, Mordecai Ham, a young 16-year-old Billy Graham was saved. For over seven, man, y'all know the story, Billy Graham. For over 75 years, I read up on this. His ministry predicts or estimates 3.2 million men and women across the globe came to salvation through the preaching of Billy Graham. What if Edward Kimball had stopped at that shoe store door and turned around and walked away? Maybe we wouldn't have had a Billy Graham. Maybe those 3.2 million people that are going to spend eternity with us, maybe they wouldn't be spending eternity in that place. Maybe you and I even, through dominoes that may have fallen different ways, may not even know the Lord. Character trumps reputation. Obedience takes faith. Courage and action, and obedience has eternal implications. And I'm a visual person, and what I picture with this for our obedience, it's like dropping a rock in a pond, and what in the ripples. I mean, it could be a small rock, and the ripples that come off of that can have eternal consequences. You, church. You may be the only Jesus anybody ever is exposed to. I can't even tell you how many times people in the United States of America have not heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I run across it all the time. Yeah, they know about church. They know about Christianity. They know, you know, and many of them don't like the church because they feel shunned or not accepted or whatever. And I always tell them, well, guess what? Church is full of people, and people, we can disappoint you. But do you know about Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know what he's done for you? Do you know how he loves you? You may be the only, you may be the rock that starts those waves. If you just bow your head with me. Father, I thank you for the faith of Joseph, the courage and the action of Joseph. Father, I thank you. I believe that there are many Edward Kimballs right here in this room and right here listening online. We can be Edward Kimball, Lord. Maybe we aren't Joseph. Maybe God's just calling us to love on somebody that needs loving on, to share the hope of Christ. We don't know where that takes them. May we be a people of faith and courage, but of action. Give us boldness. Father, we pray for fruitfulness, but more than that, I pray for faithfulness. The fruit is your business. The faith is our business. Show us how. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about this morning, man, he knows you and he loves you. Please don't leave this place without trusting him, talking to me before you leave. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. As we close, rise if you're able. Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Go and do it. Say that with me. Do it. Go and do it, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.